Coastal Carolina. Joe Moglia joins us on Sikkim 365 Radio. Joe, thank you very much for being a part of the show. We really do. We read a lot of your quotes, put them up on the graphics of our screen on YouTube, and it got incredible feedback as well. Can you be like the football czar starting today?
I'm sure there's somebody out there that's probably more qualified or better able to do that job than I, Dave. But I do feel, I mean, I love college football, as we all do, and it's been a big part of my life. But this NIL thing, which I think is fine, by the way, I think I understand what's going on from a business perspective. But what I'm disappointed in is that the NCAA was nowhere to be found. And now it's up to college leadership to step up and do something about it. So if we're moving slowly, and NIL is already a year ahead of us, well, you know, 3 years from now, it's not even going to be close. So I think it needs some structure and some guidance. And there's no reason why our leadership can't step up and provide that.
Joe Moglia with us, Craig Smoak, Paul Catalina, David Smoak. Paul, question for Joe.
Joe, one of the things that you mentioned was looking at it, because you did have that experience in business, of looking at this now in a business sense. How concerned are you or comfortable would you be if it did come into a collectively bargained student-athletes or employees type situation?
See, the problem, guys, I was fortunate enough to spend a couple of days at the Division I Collegiate Summit Athletic Director Group in Dallas, and these are, again, a lot of them I know, they're very talented people. They are very, very smart, and they would talk about different things like this. They talk about collective bargaining. They talk about all these things. Those things are periphery to the heart of the problem. And to me, this is a sense of urgency. And what you need absolute foundation and structure upon which and within which to build. So collective bargaining is like so secondary to this. And what's going to happen is if you get the structure right, collective bargaining and things like that will fall into place. Collective bargaining is not the problem. Although the possibility of unionization is absolutely out there. It's absolutely out there.
Joe, do you think college leaders convinced themselves that everything was just going to remain the same, or did they just feel like we'll just deal with the problem when it finally does arrive?
I think that's a great question, and I think there's got to be a lot of validity to that. I think the really smart people in college athletics knew that this was on the way. Now, here's what I don't know. I don't know to what extent there was really strong communication between college leadership and the NCAA leadership. Because when this happened, there were a lot of people saying, oh, yeah, we knew this was going to happen. Well, if we knew this was going to happen, we didn't do anything about it. So I do think the NCAA, and again, I don't know, but based on their non-involvement, you know, my guess is that they thought nothing was going to happen. Or if it was going to happen, it was going to happen after Emmerich stepped down. So there is a possibility that some of that exists, but you can't hope is a lousy strategy to run an organization on.
Joe, the genie's out of the bottle, what everyone has said, the dam's broke, whatever. Is it to a point now where if you're a student athlete, and there's also a term, I know that you've brought that up before, but if you're an athlete in college, why should you want to give anything back that you now have, which is almost like the Wild West?
There's not a chance that's going to happen. I want to be clear. As a business guy, you can see that something like this is going to happen. The issue is it's happening like the wild, wild west. So there's no reason why it couldn't have happened with a little bit of control and a little bit of wisdom and a little bit of structure and a little bit of guidance. None of that existed. So you do have the wild, wild west. Now, with the money involved and the simple fact that the Supreme Court of the United States already voted 9-0 to tell the NCAA we're not going to change this. It's not going back in the bottle, period. It's not going back in the bottle. So we need to recognize reality. We need to recognize it's not going back in the bottle. So what are we going to do about it now? And that's the reason why I say that you've got to treat it like a business. And this is a major, major sense of urgency here.
That sense of urgency has kind of been, it seems like they passed the buck hoping that Congress is going to do anything. But Joe, you know as well as anybody that doesn't really mean it's urgent, because it's not urgent to Congress until somebody needs it to get elected.
But the main word you used there was hope, right? So again, you can't, if it's something that doesn't matter that much, you know, don't worry about it. Whatever's going to happen, it's going to happen. But when something is really as critical as this, of this type of magnitude, and you hope somebody else is going to take, somebody else is going to take care of it, somebody else is going to figure it out, that is not anything near what my perspective of leadership is.
So, Joe, we are assigning you. You're the leader. You make the first call. What's the first step you're taking to get the ball rolling?
I think I mentioned already how much I respect the leadership in college administration, both at the athletic director level and the level of academia. But this needs, you need to move right now. There needs to be a sense of urgency, and I don't see a sense of urgency with regards to the world of academia like this. And I think you need to make very, very real radical changes. And I don't see academia doesn't do radical. All right, so I think the first thing that you've got to be able to do is the leadership that's in place in college athletics stays. That doesn't change. But everybody does what they want to do. So you've got to be able to bring in, I think, you know, two or three people, create your own executive committee away from and apart from the NCAA that you hire, but they have the skill sets and the wisdom to do what they believe is the right thing for college athletics, and the guts to be able to do that, and the smarts to be able to pull it off. And then college athletics abides by what they say. So in effect, you become your own governing body. I think you need to begin that way. Then the second step I do would probably break away from the NCAA and I compete against them.
Well, okay, Joe, Dr. Livingstone at Baylor is one of the members of the Transformational Committee. Have you spoken to anybody on that committee about anything that they might be doing that helps?
I did have a chance to speak. Several years ago, I spoke at the Collegiate Leadership Summit for Division I Athletic Directors, but it was only about my perspective of leadership. And I was still coaching then, but I think what I said was reasonably well received. This time, I wasn't asked to talk about leadership. This time, I was asked to give my unfiltered perspective assessment of where college athletics stands today. And I did that. So everything and more that you may have read in that article, wherever else it was, I said to the entire organization.
What's the response been like? Yeah.
Well, I think I probably had 15 to 20 people came up to me then. Some athletic directors and some not, and talk about, you know, we really need something like this. There's a sense of urgency. But I don't know if the really senior athletic leadership in the country, I don't know if, number one, they were there. And none of them, if they were, they didn't come up to me. But again, it's not that these aren't good leaders, and it's not that they don't care about what's going on in college athletics. They do. They just got to wake up and recognize that the way college athletics has always handled things, assuming the NCAA is going to take care of it, that world is gone. You guys probably know the stats better than I do, but I'll bet you there's 35 players minimum, that are making at least $1 million a year. This NAL has only been around 14 months. This, I said 3 years from now, I think there'll be 100 kids making at least $1 million, and you're going to have 5 or 10 making $5 million. So this, and by the way, the coaches haven't even raised their hand yet for NIL. Mm-hmm. Now, so this is all coming, and it's all there, and it's all down the road. So we can have one committee meeting after another, and then eventually the committees give their findings probably to another committee or some board of directors, but they're already 14, 15 months behind. And the metaphor that I've used, guys, is that you look at college athletic leadership as sort of a really well-built, strong, sturdy, beautiful cargo ship, but it doesn't move quickly. And you look at NIL and agents and lawyers and all the stuff that's going on here, it's like a whole group of Coast Guard cutters that are fast and are powerful and they move quickly. And so that's what, in effect, we're dealing with. So we got to be able to figure a way. And it's not going to be them and us. That's not going to be it. But how do we pull this together? And how do we create a college system that you know, we really all want? And I'm not saying you take away money from anybody. It's too late for that.
Are there too many people involved to make this decision, though, that quickly? Because it's got to go to every university president and all these different people. Is that maybe the first thing says, like, here's the committee, there's 15 of us, we're voting on it, let's go?
I think there's normally, in the world of academia, there's almost always too many committees. So people involved. So one committee's got to be able to talk to the other committee, then you get findings to the other group, and then there's another group, there's somebody else you've got to talk to. So my guess is, yeah, there's probably too many people involved. That's one of, and remember, the people that are involved have a conflict of interest. You are either a commissioner of a league, or you are, you know, you represent a particular institution. So your priority, and by the way, your job is that particular league or that particular institution. So therefore, you're really, you're not, your job dictates to you that you're not supposed to make, no matter what you're told, you're not supposed to make a decision that's in the best interest of all college sports. You're supposed to make a decision that's in the best interest of your particular university.
Yep.
So the only way to, so you got an inherent conflict of interest. So the only way you take care of that is you bring in, now you hire them. These are your people, but they are real people that you believe in and trust, and they're smart, and they got the guts to do what they believe is the right thing. They're probably, they got to be business oriented. I can't imagine that not being the case. They got to be business oriented, and that becomes the leadership of your governing body. And then when they sit down, and they can talk to committee, they talk to whoever they want to. But ultimately, they come up with some decisions, and those decisions, everybody abides by.
Joe, I received a text from somebody that is involved in athletics at the college level. Do you feel like, and you've seen where a couple of commissioners, I think the SEC and Pac-12 commissioners met with some senators and all that, and you hear about Congress. Is it going to have to get to that point for anything to get done? Because it's not like they move very quickly either.
That's one of the points that I made. I said, I heard two or three times this idea has got to go to the governor, it's got to go to Congress. And all I said was, I heard a couple of comments about this. The government's going to help us here. And I just said, just forget that one. Just forget it. Just get it.
Amen.
Literally get it off the table. First of all, our government's got a lot more things that they got to worry about now.
Yep.
With regard to what college is supposed to take care of themselves. So again, if we were waiting for the NCAA to solve this, well, shame on us. If we were waiting, I'm considering myself part of the athletic community, athletic leadership community, and if we're waiting for Congress or somebody to figure it out for us, again, shame on us. And that goes back, guys, to what you said a little while ago. Maybe we just wait for somebody else to figure it out. And we just hope that this is all going to go away. But again, that is horrible, horrible leadership. You're not taking responsibility for yourself, and you make an excuse, and you pass the buck on to somebody else.
Do you?
I say they got to move. They got to move. Like, they got to do this now.
Do you feel like it could get to a point where athletes, student athletes, become employers? And if that's the case, or employees of the university, if that's the case, does that then lead to them, if they are injured in college, being given, I guess, disability and paid for the rest of their lives if they're injured, if they're an employee of the university?
All those, well, see, you're getting back to now the idea of collective bargaining. So collective bargaining, yeah, are the employees, the student athletes, or the unions, or whatever they are. Now, right now, if I'm an agent and I represent a handful of guys on a major program, I think I can probably negotiate a pretty good deal for those guys. If I pick one of the top two or three agents, and I represent, because we collectively joined together, and I represent 100 athletes, are you kidding me? I could represent 100 athletes and say, if we don't get what we want, we're not going to play in the bowl game. We don't give a one, we're not going to play in the playoffs. That's 100 of your best athletes in college football. Now, if we don't see that as a possibility, again, we've got our eyes closed. There are players today that opt out from playing in the last game because they recognize they're going to be a one or a first or second round draft choice, and they don't want to risk it. We all understand that. I feel a little bad about it, but we understand that. They don't want to risk the possibility of getting injured and screw up a $100 million contract. We all get that. We all get that. But right now, we can't spend time on, well, how about this? How about that? How about this? How about that? Lay a foundation. Bring in your own leadership team. Govern your own body. Do what you got to do. Break away from the NCAA. They had their chance here. And then, by the way, on top of it, then they decide to get rid of the transfer rule. So if you're in the NFL and you're a player, you got a 5-year contract. You got a 5-year contract. That's got to be honest. If you're a college athlete, anytime you feel like, you can put your name up on the portal and, frankly, wind up leaving for the highest bidder. Now, NCAA says, and college athletics says, oh, well, you know, we got our bylaws. You can't do that. Well, if we think that's not going to be taken care of behind the scenes, like, again, we're in la-la land. So 40 years ago, the NCAA worked really, really hard to eliminate boosters from involvement. And they had the death penalty. Remember, SMU got that, and others at the same time. And by the way, I think all of us worked pretty hard to try to live within the guidelines established for us by the NCAA for the last four decades or whatever it's been. Well, now everything that the NCAA gave the death penalty for is legal. It's legal. It's okay. It's okay. And remember, I'm not saying that I'm not saying players or coaches are not supposed to get money. I am saying that the but it is college athletics. And if the NCAA didn't want to stand up and be counted when all this was going on, then it's clearly the purview and the responsibility of the leadership within the college athletic world to stand up and do something about it now. Now, you can't bite off more than you can chew. There's a whole slew of questions you could ask. Well, how about this? How about this? How about that? So you talk about Division I. Okay, Jack Schwarber, I'm sure you guys saw that. I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit, but his headline was, the chaos that Division I athletics, college athletics, are embroiled in today means that there will be a major realignment, you know, in Division I athletics. And then I thought, yep, that wow, that's exactly what I'm thinking. And then I read on, and he says, 2030. Like, again, that wouldn't ever happen in a business. If this was a business, the NCAA would be fired for missing this.
Yep.
And anybody that's responsible for the college level would be expected to come up with a plan like pronto, like real, real fast. So if you talk about Division I, and I'm using football because I understand it the best, but also, and I know the numbers there, I also know that that's just because we're frankly the greatest revenue generated, and that's a big piece of what's going on here. So it's a fair point of comparison. So you got Division I, but in football you got Power 5, you got Group of 5, you got FCS. The reality is nobody cares about the Group of 5 in this. Nobody cares about the FCS. So acknowledge that. That's a fact. That's a fact. Okay, so we care about the Power 5 because of the incredible television contracts that they get. So you've got the Big Ten now negotiating the new television deal with the NCAA, with the television. And I've suggested that, they stop negotiations. They extend it for another year or two until colleges get their act together and they have much greater leverage. But today, I bet you, probably average football program, not average, each football program in the Big Ten probably gets $70 million. That's one team, one check each year. And then it varies each year. Usually it goes up. Well, this is a tremendous amount of money. This is the reason why NIL exists now. Because the amount of money that actually exists, the amount of money that's going into college sports. So if you've got that much money around, and it's that popular, and television and streaming and all those are just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The next contract, I think, could easily go from 70 to 80 million a team. Okay, now, let's stop for a second. That's Power 5 only. Now, but put that in perspective. If one team in the Big Ten gets $70 million, Coastal Carolina, we got 17 sports. Our entire athletic budget is $31 million. So, again, we're talking about different planets. Mm. These are different planets. So focus on the planet that needs the most attention now, Power 5. Now, within Power 5, if you're running it like a business, demonstrate reality. Because 5 years from now, it may wind up happening anyway. But if it's going to happen, get the Band-Aid off, do it now. You've got 65 schools or so in Power 5. You've got about half of them that are, let's just call them the more elite in college football. We all know who they are. And then some of them are not so much. But still Power 5, major conference schools. Well, if the elitist group breaks away, or they divide it into 72 groups, Group 1 and Group 2, but the Group 1 is to be the elite group, I bet you they get that $70 million I'm talking about 2 years from now to become 110, 120. Because those are there. Everybody's going to want to watch those 25 or 30 teams all the time. Right? And then, by the way, college athletics still got to take care of its own. So don't forget the other group within Power 5, don't forget the Group of 5. I mean, poor FCS, nobody's paying attention to that, but you should. We should be. We should be taking care of our own. So, everybody says, oh, one day this may happen and this can happen. And, the Power 5 schools really don't care what the NCAA says anyway. Well, all that talk is all bullshit. Right? I think if you've got responsibility for what is the greatest platform in the country in terms of college athletics. And it's not just for athletics, it's for academia as well. And we should take a tremendous amount of pride in it, but we also have to be realistic and recognize right now the situation is urgent and we got to step up and do something about it. And we're not going to do that if everybody's got a conflict of interest, or if we're going to look at all sports, at all levels, at all divisions, which is it's too humongous a task. It's like herding cats. You're not going to be able to do that. So break it down and get your leadership. Break it down into bits that you can handle. Begin with the most prevalent one, which is a Power Five. And within Power Five, if you're looking at football, look at the possibility of breaking up the group.
Joe, glad we could get you on. It's a great article yesterday by Chris Vanini, and I reached out to Kevin Davis to see if we could have your time today, and you've given it to us, and we appreciate you. And we might bother you again if that's okay. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Joe Moglia, Coastal Carolina Executive Director of Football, also an advisor to the president, and also the Executive Director of Football at Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, I think he raises a lot of great points, and I wish somebody like that was in charge of herding those cats and trying to get people to get on the. I mean, that's the thing, man. Is they just sat and waited and just we'll let you decide. And that's basically what they did. And everybody saw what the result was going to be. And here we are. And we see the result. And people are throwing their hands up like, I can't believe it. Like, I didn't. It's like, you can't, because it was totally predictable. And yeah. And if they do that again, if they sit back for the next 5 years and they wait for, the government to get involved or whatever, newsflash, the government's not going to be any less busy anytime soon. If in fact, they're only getting busier and might be really busy here in the next couple years if things keep trending in the same direction. So they're not going to be throwing life rafts anytime soon to solve your problem for you. So I'm with him, man. They got to be far more proactive than they are. And I like his idea of, splitting it up. Like, let's acknowledge the Power Five is most important, and Power Five football in particular. Let's start there. Let's figure out what issues need to be fixed and then go on down the line. But yeah, trying to compare, women's track and field and men's cross country to football, like it's all the same thing. It's not even close to the same thing in any way, shape, or form other than their athletes on campuses. I also agree with him that the academic part of this